Yeah, thank you. Yeah, just to introduce myself, my name is Volker Lindig. As you can all see, I work for Samba since the mid-90s, last century actually, so for quite a while. And I think I don't have to introduce what Samba and SMB really are. They are file-serving protocols. And what I would like to do eventually is kill NFS. And I know this doesn't go down well in some communities, but this is what I'm working on in my spare time, when I have spare time. In the last few months, unfortunately, it was a bit limited, but still, some of you already have seen this talk at Samba XP or other conferences. There's a little bit of new stuff, but I think it's still interesting to see that you can actually serve SMB clients or Linux clients with SMB. So what is it all about? You want to share file systems, directory and files across the network. So you have one server where you have a directory, where you have a file system. And you want this to be shared across the network to possibly many, many clients. If you go Linux to Linux, you typically use NFS. And it's one of the reasons is it's so simple. What you do is you just add a line to your etc exports. Maybe you have to kill or restart a daemon or whatever. Then you issue just a mount command on your client, and you're done. That's about it. However, it comes with some downsides. First, there is essentially no real metadata or data caching in NFS. This means that it can regularly happen that you create a file somewhere and it doesn't really show up until a bit later, some on other clients. If you just write to directories, if you just write to files, other clients don't really see the M time or size updates really precisely, and so on. So this is kind of problematic. Why does the maildir mail format actually exist? Because locking doesn't work over NFS. And yes, NFS v4 has locking, NFS v3 has external protocols to do locking, but you can't really rely on those. And it's really, really complex to set up locking properly and to get failover done and so on. This initial very simple setup, and I love this acronym of NFS, it's just no file security, because essentially what you do is you trust your clients to assign the UIDs and GIDs and essentially the group permissions and whatever. You assign them correctly on the client, and there's nobody in between who actually checks. I know there are these days, there are protocol extensions to do NFS over TLS, so at least transport is in a standard way protected. You can, of course, go and enable a Kerberos for NFS, but this is also pretty complicated, and we have done it in customer scenarios. The client at least is buggy like hell. And you get incompatibilities all over the place. You lose keys, you lose anything. So it's really, really difficult to set up. And as I said, clients have a very bad day when you Kerberize them. SMB, however, it really comes from the Windows world. And if you look at there was one talk by the original SMB implementer, Barry Feigenbaum. Is it online available, Günther, do you know? So at one of the conferences that we regularly go to, there was actually a talk by the original inventor or developer of the SMB protocol. And essentially what they did is they took the MS-DOS interrupt int21 and put the arguments on disk and let the server take care of it. And this means that they have to be compatible with a lot of applications on DOS. And DOS means that applications like Word 5.5 or whatever believes it's alone on the machine. So this means you have to get locking right. If Word opens a file and it believes it's the only one editing that file, you better make sure that nobody else also edits that file simultaneously. So they had to get locking right from day one. The other one is cache coherency. We have protocol for this, and this between Windows and Linux, this actually works. So if you open a file over SMB, typically what you get is a permission to cache stuff, to cache your updates, to cache reads, and so on. This leads to much, much better performance. And if somebody else also wants to open the file, you get notified that, oh, no, you're not alone on the file anymore. Please drop all your caches. Please write back your caches. And you tell the server, hey, I'm done writing back. Now please let the other one in. And then they have to agree that they all have to write back their changes and so on, read new data from the server. And the other advantage is, one of the advantages is, that SMB servers, they are everywhere. Every home router in Germany, the Fritzbox, has an SMB server in there. All NAS appliances have SMB, so it is everywhere. And you can access it from almost any place. Whether all the features that we are talking about here are correctly implemented everywhere, that's a different story. For example, Fritzboxes don't talk to my mobile phone properly, but that's a different story. But essentially, it's everywhere. The SMB protocol is very flexible. There were very, very early extensions of the SMB1 protocol. So like every protocol, you have a lot of requests going on back and forth, and there is unused protocol space. You have whatever, a create request, a read request, or so on, and so on. They are numbered, and there's number space that you can take, and so on. And this is what we did early in the, 2000s or so for the SMB1 protocol. There are Unix extensions that match all the Unix semantics in the SMB1 protocol. This was never transferred properly yet to the newer and now only SMB3 protocol. And what we are working on actually is we want to extend the SMB protocol with all the behavior that a POSIX client expects. How is that done? The first packet that is sent between client and server is called negotiate protocol. And it exactly does what it says. It negotiates different flavors of the protocol. For example, it tells, hey, I'm SMB1, I'm SMB2, I'm SMB3, and I have this and this sub-feature and so on. I can do these capabilities and those capabilities I can't, and so on. And essentially what Microsoft has done, they were with the SMB3 protocol, they did the smart thing and made this request extensible. Essentially what you can do is you have this negotiate protocol request and you can add what I would call extended attributes to this request over the wire. I mean, it's not an exactly as in a file system, but you can just extend the request in a standard way with a new negotiate context. So you have a ton of negotiate context that say, okay, I can do encryption this way, I can do whatever, and we just have a additional extended negotiate context that says I can do POSIX in this version. So the client tells the server I can do POSIX, server tells client I can't. The default behavior is for unknown